Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the By the Min MFC podcast. Today, former Motherwell winger Kevin Twaddle joins regulars Jay and Busta. Kevin, goals against Celtic and Rangers in your career at Motherwell, but today you reached the pinnacle.
Yeah, obviously being on the podcast is everything I've dreamed of, and really look forward to doing a wee bit for the LFC.
Just what we'll do is we'll form the usual format of looking back in your career, and then we'll bring it up to date with the current team. Kevin, you joined Motherwell under the leadership of Billy Davis from Morton for a fairly substantial transfer fee. Was there a lot of excitement about that move?
Yeah, obviously, Premier League club, big club as well. I'd looked up to a lot of people that were actually playing at the club as well, so to get the move was absolutely fantastic.
Just as soon as you arrived, almost you were almost instantly struck down with glandular fever, which delayed your start, so to speak. How frustrating was that, given your desire to express yourself and show up what you were all about?
Yeah, it's not really a common thing that a lot of footballers get struck down with, is glandular fever, to be honest with you. But at the time, I was like lacking energy. I just felt absolutely rotten. And obviously, not being able to take the opportunity to come and even to meet the boys. I didn't meet the boys until we played at Hampden in a pre-season friendly. So I hadn't even met the boys till maybe like through the whole like pre-season. I only met them pretty much as the season was about to start, just playing pre-season games. But it was fun meeting the boys as well. I can remember walking at the Hampden and wee John Spencer absolutely annihilating me, which welcomed me to Motherwell, to be honest with you, because his banter was just absolutely fantastic. But he started walking about the dressing room telling me to keep away from everybody. I was Cyrus the Virus, and it was quite funny, to be honest. But it pretty much summed up my time when I was there as well, regards to the banter. And that for John Spencer was fantastic.
Just to ask Kevin then, when you did arrive, obviously at the time it was obviously kind of billed as we were going to be the third force and things like that, so I imagine as well as John Spencer there was a few other sort of big characters and big names in the dressing room. What was it like sort of being at the club at that time?
It was brilliant, to be honest with you. I mean, I walked into that dressing room, you know, I'm just like a normal boy as well. I came for painting when I started my football career, so walking into most dressing rooms was quite exciting. But to walk into the Motherwell dressing room when you had boys like Andy Gorham, Jed Brannan, Lee McCullough, boys that, you know what, were to me people that I was like used to watching playing in the Premier League and stuff like that. And I mean, John Spencer, Andy Gorham, Don Goodman, just the banter and the way they were was just absolutely brilliant. I'll never forget my time, especially for the banter they carry on was absolutely magnificent. Great characters.
See, there was a lot of perhaps misconceptions that because a few of these guys were leading towards the end of their career, that they just used Motherwell as one kind of final paycheck. But given the success that season, that proved a lot of the doubters wrong, didn't it?
And when I went there, I never went down that road listening to people tell me that all these people were, for me, they were brilliant professionals. And there was a lot of press at the time when I went to the club as well about, like, people just taking money for the club, and it was never like that. And as you said, I think where we finished in the league and the success that we had, I mean, Motherwell are a big club, but in terms of being up there challenging for European positions, and it's where the club belongs. I mean, it shows now, obviously, where we are in the current climate, that, you know what, there were great times as well. And no, the boys were absolutely brilliant. There's a lot of young, good kids coming through as well, with the experience or the older pros and stuff like that. And it was an amazing place to be. We are driving force with Billy Davis being there as well. He was a brilliant driving force with great determination. He wanted to do the best for Motherwell. And I mean, he always used to think that you'd go and win the league. He never ever spoke about, and especially when we're rising through the league as well, he never ever spoke about the bad times and being at bottom of the league. He always wanted to finish as high as possible, and I think Europe was the dream for everybody.
Just looking back at the early days again, one of your first games would have been the 6-5 game against Aberdeen under Ebbe Skovdal at Fir Park. Still one of the most surreal experiences I've had as a football fan, watching 11 goals with Jim Leighton and goals at one end and Andy Gorham at the other. What was it like to be involved in?
That was actually, I think that was actually only my that could have actually been my debut or it was my second game, I can't remember, but I can remember actually waiting to come on the park and looking up at the scoreboard and looking at 6-5 and thinking to myself, I mean, what's happening here? It was quite bizarre, as you say, with two goalie legends, but I mean, it was just a game where there were so many mistakes. It was a wet night as well, I'll never forget that actually, to be honest. Games happen like that. I mean, it's great for the fans. I mean, not for the Motherwell fans, obviously, getting beat 6-5, but the game is so up and down as well. So many roller coasters in it, but it's not very often you'll see a 6-5 at Fir Park. Eh?
No, it's in that. About 10 seasons later, we drew 6 each with Hibs.
I know, that was just incredible. That outdone the 6-5, to be honest with you. It's exciting for the fans watching all the goals going in, but. A wee bit despair at obviously losing out in 6-5, but the 6-all game was just quite incredible as well. But as you said, it never normally happens many times in football, so for me, I never played in any, obviously, 6-5, so it was a thing I'll never forget.
So we moved on to the end of the season and narrowly missed out in Europe by a 2-0 victory in which you scored in against Rangers, coupled with the disappointment of Hearts finishing in third place, just pipping us to the European slots. That must have been kind of a fantastic moment in your career, but a disappointing day at the same time.
Yeah, it was. I'll never forget that day, because if you remember Billy Davis pulling me in before the game and speaking to me and saying to me that I was going to go on the bench. Now, the week before, I think we'd been with Dundee United, played really well. And he told me that I was going to be on the bench, play the last half an hour. He was going to keep the game tight, see what the score was in the Hearts game and that as well. Keep everything tight, come on for half an hour, you can cause some problems, legs tired, and so disappointed. And then obviously getting on and scoring, just coming on the park and then setting up wee Spenny for the second goal was the most unbelievable feeling in the world. But obviously come the end of the game, realising that Hearts had won, I never ever thought I'd see that day, because obviously I've grew up, I've watched Hearts all around the world, I've been a massive jumbo, but it was an absolute sense of despair. And to be honest with you, I don't know if that's was the turning point to when I became the ultimate Well fan. But I mean, I'm fed and brand, the only one team even up till now is that I would ever look for their scores and stuff like that is Motherwell, to be honest with you. It was good, but then obviously tinged with a bit of sadness that obviously the club hadn't reached Europe, because for me that would have been the ultimate dream, getting to play in Europe as well.
Can I just ask quickly, I remember the Rangers game well, and I think it was Jed Brannan, at one point the ball was out of play, coming over to the Motherwell support and asking what the score was at the Hearts game. Was it something that the players were aware of on that day, or was there just no thought given to the other game and just do our job first?
No, I could say to you that, it's all about our game and we've got to win and stuff like that, but no, I think I can actually remember things like that. I can remember everybody asking what the scores were, and so, it's always, if people tell you that it never happens, it's always got to go through your mind, because, I mean, that game was on a wee bit of a knife edge as well, so our game kind of took up even more importance winning that. You go into the kind of games, I think most clubs and with most people, you wouldn't go with an expectation to beat Rangers, but I personally thought deep down 100%, just because of the way Billy Davis was, that we were always got to win that game, and it's a great quality to have, thinking that you've got to go out and beat a team like Rangers to qualify for Europe. But it was just a run we were on as well. The club was absolutely flying at the time, it was a bit sad, obviously, not reaching the heights, but it pretty much, I think, for the start of the season, for where I actually started when I started my first game at Parkhead, I mean, from where we were, third bottom of the league, to obviously challenging for it, just shows you how well the club knitted together and went on to obviously finish just under Hearts, which is a wee bit soul-destroying. But it was tinged with a wee bit of sadness, which I never ever in my life would have thought I could have said that with Hearts getting to Europe, but it was, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
Sorry, Buster.
I was just going to say, towards the Parkhead game you mentioned, is that the one where you scored?
Oh, I forgot about that. I scored the score. It's one of these things you'll never ever forget, I suppose. I think you see a a wee handful of Motherwell fans, obviously, in the corner and stuff like that. And I'll never forget. That was my first game as well. And I can remember it took me about 2 days to recover after that game because I was obviously just back. I wasn't doing much training as well. I was seeing a doctor most days as well just to make sure my levels of energy and stuff like that were fine because glandular fever is quite a horrendous thing to come back from, so I wasn't doing much training. I didn't expect obviously to start in the game. The manager spoke to me the day before and said I'd been doing well in training and stuff, and do you think I'd managed to start the game? And obviously started it. It didn't help with somebody getting sent off as well, so you're running about like a madman. But no, it's something you'll never ever forget. It's there's not many people go to Parkhead and score 1-1 now, innit?
I think Petrov was at right back, was it? No, and you put it through his legs and went on to score.
I think that was his debut for Celtic. Obviously, he's went on and struggled his career and I've flourished, if you know. I've admired him as well. I think not just obviously because of what he's gone through now, but he was an amazing footballer. He was never a right back either. I got to prove that. And there's not many boys I can show that he played centre midfield and he was some midfielder, but I don't think playing him at right back. I think he lost a wee bit of weight when he came to Celtic as well, because when we played in his first game I thought he was a wee bit heavier, and then I think as his career went on he's obviously lost a bit of weight as well, and he's a magnificent player to be honest. But it was definitely a highlight. My dad was there as well, and my best friend was there as well, which was, it was quite surreal to go there and score and win 1-0. But I don't know, I just think Billy Davis gave you that. I mean, we went there, we're third bottom in the league, you've got to park. You're not expecting, I don't know, he just gave you that thing that when I listened to him, I actually thought you were going to go out and get beat, go out and win. There was no way you could get beat. He just had that wee sense of tinge of arrogance, confidence about him, which I loved. But the score was, that was awesome.
Motherwell had so many disappointments at Celtic Park and at Ibrox over the years. What gave that team the belief that they could go to Celtic Park, especially after going down to 10 men and coming away with the 3 points? Was that down to Billy Davis's management? There's been so many good managers in charge at Motherwell, with only one win in 2008 since that 1-0 victory that night.
That's what I'm saying. We were sitting third bottom when that game was getting played, and I honestly went there thinking that we wouldn't get beat. I kind of sounds stupid when you go to Parkhead because you never expect, but I expected us to win. Billy Davis was. He was so infectious a character. I mean, his drive, his determination, the work that he put into obviously being a manager and stuff like that. I mean, when I look back, obviously, now, and I see the work that gets done for managers and stuff, he was meticulous to detail, but his confidence and arrogance, I don't think I've seen in a manager. And I've played under a lot of really good managers as well. Craig Levein, Billy Stark. I mean, there's been loads, Paul Sturrock. I've never seen anybody with that wee tinge of confident arrogance. And it never went into like a massive arrogance. It just was, he was just confident, verging on the thing with arrogance. The one thing I'll never forget in that game as well is Alan the Kitman, who I've kept in touch with. I've kept in touch with a lot of the boys as well, but Alan the Kitman, his dad died, and it was the last game that he was at. And every time I speak to him, or every time, it's always mentioned, and it's nice to have, people have got memories of you, which, I mean, you never ever got to expect, you know what I mean, that your dad obviously passes away in the last goal that he's seen in the last game, and he always says, and every time I'm speaking to him, it's like, I'll never ever forget, it's something I'll never forget, because it's your parents saying for him to be able to, and it's quite touching, it's nice. These are wee things that a lot of people didn't ever get to see, but as a footballer, they're wee things that I hold precious as well, so... it was an amazing, never be forgotten, but aye, through Billy Davis we were able to get that win, I think.
Obviously after the season finishing narrowly behind Hearts, fourth position, I think I'm right in saying that you were offered, you know, a long deal at the club, despite a lot of the big names and I suppose the big characters in the dressing room leaving. What was that like? Was that like a period of transition, or was it something that you kind of expected? You know, what was the situation at the club around that time?
Just what you said, I think most of the boys were leaving, to be honest with you. They were getting offered, there was helicopters coming down on the park to take boys away and stuff like that, to Wigan and stuff. And I think when I spoke to Pat Nevin, who I was really close to at the club as well, I travelled most days with him until I moved to Motherwell, obviously, and stayed in Motherwell, but I was very, very close to Pat, and Pat had spoke to me about how much he wanted me to lead like another like another transition, more boys coming into the club, and it would be a big, you would be a big part player at the club. They were desperate to keep me there because of obviously the situation with so many boys leaving and stuff. So yeah, it was a transitional period. There was a lot of people, boys coming in, boys going away, boys coming in, going away, like trialists and stuff like that as well, because we were a steady ship then, and then obviously with boys leaving, a big part of the club was broken down. Stevie McMillan, Lee McCulloch, Jed Brannan, who were big players at the club as well, and so yeah, but I mean, there was never any chance I was leaving. It wouldn't have mattered, to be honest, who'd come in for me. And I even mean that, like, regards, and I mean, I had so many links with Hearts when I was at Motherwell, but it would never have mattered. I think by that time, you know what, I'd always wanted to be where I was, and I always wanted to stay there. I loved living there. I just loved the kind of vibe of the place as well. The people were so friendly, and the club was just, it was a dream club, probably. And I never ever thought I'd be able to say that, but it was.
Then, kind of the transition continued with the manager that you looked up to so much, Billy Davis, departing the club, and in came Eric Black. From reading your book, that was a very difficult time for yourself, given the way you were treated. It sounds pretty horrendous, but I'm sure you'll be able to elaborate a bit more on that.
Listen, Eric Black came in, I mean, I don't know whether it was, I can understand probably nowadays, it was a wee bit harder at the time, I can understand nowadays that people come in, they want to bring in their own players, they don't want people being at the club on really good money and stuff like that, so there is ways and means of going about it. I just think he went away, he went about it the wrong way, I thought, because I mean, I loved the club, I loved being at a club. It was gut-wrenching to leave the club, and obviously with the circumstances, I pretty much knew as well, I knew obviously before, we being so close to Pat, I pretty much knew the club was going where it was going, but I wanted to stay in it, I mean, as long as things were possible to stay in the club. But I think the way he went about, I was talking about this the other day actually, I think the way he went about it was a wee bit tough for me, because I've talked about it yesterday to Peter Murphy. I think it's tough, you come into a club, there is certain ways you can go about obviously wanting players to leave, but for someone who was at the club, and had done pretty well at the club, and enjoyed his time at the club as well, it was pretty gut wrenching. But listen, he's an amazing coach. There's one thing I could never take away from him. He was an amazing coach. I just thought his management was very, very, very poor. And Terry Butcher pretty much summed that up as well. I like Terry, I had a lot of respect for him as well, but that sort of dwindled away as well, with his kind of mannerisms and the way he went about the place as well, I didn't like as well.
Through that process, before yourself and Andy Dow were training by yourselves, you were training with some of the younger boys, did that involve guys like Piro, James McFadden, Stephen Hamill?
See, the thing is, it's so funny because Hamill's one boy that, I mean, I keep in contact with Hamill all the time, Keith Lashley, they're boys that, the thing is, when we went to train with the kids and stuff, we trained really hard. It was never ever a Swanee. I mean, we trained really hard. What I found difficult was Eric Black made us go and train with the kids. When you went up there, you trained with the kids, you tried to help the kids. I mean, that's why I still have that rapport with Faddy, with Stevie Hamill, with Keith Lashley, Piro. I mean, there was loads of boys, there was loads of them that I could mention now that have actually went on and done amazing in their career. We were brilliant with the kids. Andy Dow was brilliant with the kids as well. Yet we trained with the kids for a week. Chris McCart didn't like the fact that, you know what, we're trying to bring the kids on. We trained really hard with them, and then they started training you on your own. For me, that was just, I mean, it was bad enough. You're training with the kids, which, to be fair, I mean, it's not the ideal situation, but it was great because there were so many good kids. You were getting to help them. You were getting to be a part of their building process and stuff. But after a while of obviously doing really well, training hard, I don't think they wanted that reaction. They wanted you to no train and no do so they could have reasons to. They didn't ever have reasons because we trained really hard with the kids, and I really enjoyed the kids as well. The kids were absolutely magnificent at the time as well.
Was it apparent even then how much ability there was in that youth team at the time?
Oh, 100%. I mean, Faddy was something else, like. And for me, Stevie Hamill, I'm very surprised. I had obviously a decent enough career, but he was one boy that I thought would reach the heights. Like, I really thought he had all the tools to go and do a really good job, like a big club. Like Stevie Hamill was a great kid, great professional, and just I always thought that he would probably go further than most of the kids. Obviously, Faddy had that gift of producing a wee bit of brilliance and stuff like that, even at his younger age. I mean, I can remember going about with a ponytail and stuff like that. The boys, first team boys, used to threaten to cut it off, and he'd be saying to them, listen, you cut it off, you'll be dealing with, like, my dad's a madman, whatever, he'll be coming in and he'll be chopping your balls off and stuff like that. So he was a character as well, wee Faddy. Even at a young age, he had that wee bit of swagger about him as well, but I loved that. He was a great kid as well. But Stevie Hamill, no, I'm surprised he's never ever went on to, like, kind of big things in football, because he had all the tools. Now, I mean, I've seen a couple of injuries as well, right enough, but great kid.
You talked about your relationship with Pat Nevin and how you became quite aware of the situation at the club. Administration did follow in very, very difficult times, where it's easy to say young guys like Hamill and McFadden and Lasley all benefited from the administration process. A lot of families were ripped apart by it, a lot of careers were cut short by it, and your career at Motherwell inevitably was cut short by the administration process.
Yeah, that was obviously a really hard time at the club as well. It was a hard time for everybody, a hard time for the supporters and that as well, because, I mean, the club had went from being, like, challenging for Europe to, obviously, the club was getting made a bit of a mockery, to be honest with you, with the amount of media headlines that was going about it as well, and it wasn't a great time, to be honest with you. I knew it was coming, though, to be honest. I can't say nothing, because Pat had warned me a wee bit before that, you know what, there was other opportunities to go to other clubs, and I should have took them, but you know what, I loved the club, I loved being there, I kind of knew it was going to happen, but I had this wee kind of thing in the back of my mind that, you know what, if the club went to administration, I'd been at the club, I'd been kind of a big part of the club, I thought I might have got looked after a wee bit better, and obviously that didn't happen. It came down to a financial, probably a financial reason, but it'll come down to a reason as well that the management and staff probably didn't want me there as well, probably because of it got to a right horrible bit of kind of situation, training on your own. But for the fans, I felt for the fans a wee bit, because the club have an amazing supporters. I mean, I've been lucky enough to go around the world, like, watching Hearts as well, and they're, you know what, fans are very fickle. I found, just for me personally, I thought the fans were absolutely brilliant. I thought they were very, they had a bit of understanding as well, I think, and you didn't get that in a lot of supporters, and for the club to be dragged through what it was dragged through, I thought was pretty poor. But it happens. Listen, the man spent a lot of money at the club, paying ridiculous wages and stuff like that as well, and obviously you're seeing it more now and nowadays as well, that a lot of clubs have hung on, and then eventually it's happened to them as well. So he probably done what was right at the time for himself, and probably for the club, because it might have went a lot further down than what it did. It should never be able to happen, administration, in my eyes. I think it's cruel on families first and foremost as well, because it's pretty harrowing. Like, I mean, I was lucky enough that I pretty much knew I was going to another club as well, but I think for a lot of the other boys who were not as big names and stuff like that, it was quite hard to just... And a lot of the boys loved the club as well. It wasn't a case they were walking away from the club and they didn't like the club. You know what? They loved being at the club as well. Stevie Nicholas, Eddie Forrest, big Carol Reddy as well. The boys that really liked being at the club, and had Carol came away up here, left a good lifestyle down south as well and stuff, and it was pretty much, you were treated like a piece of dirt, to be honest with you, which wasn't nice, but it never ever, obviously, thing dampened my thing ways of being at the club.
Was it a process that you think that, because it was so played out in the media, Motherwell, unfortunately, were the first club to go through a high-profile administration in Scottish football? Do you think that kind of made certain individuals slightly more, for want of a better word, bitter? You kind of saw a lot from guys like Eddie Forrest and Carol Reddy in the press, because it must have been so difficult. They were out of pocket. They didn't have a next move sorted because they had the stability of a contract at Motherwell. Did that kind of... Was it almost a career ruiner for some players?
100%. I mean, I still speak to Eddie and that nowadays. I still speak to wee Stevie Nicholas as well and stuff like that. Just even to mention a couple of them, and I still speak to Carol as well, but... I think when you're under contract to anywhere, I think it's hard for it to be pulled out. I mean, we sacrificed. I mean, I could, as I said, I could have. I never knew exactly when I signed my new deal. I never knew exactly where the club was going. But I kind of thought, I kind of heard things as well that, you know what, and I had other opportunities to go elsewhere. I mean, I had, like, I could have went to Hearts before that. It's a club that, I mean, if anybody knows me for, like, years and years ago, but I had no, there wasn't even any thought of going. And it wasn't about all about money. I was getting good money. I was getting offered a good deal because I'd been at the club for quite a bit of time. Everybody was leaving, so it was a wee bit to show everybody that I was staying. And it wasn't even so much that. I think it's very unfair for whatever walk of life you're in. It doesn't matter if it's football or no. I think it's when you're under contract and you're making sacrifices to either be at that place, move through to that place as well, build a new home with your family, and a lot of fans probably don't get to see a lot of that as well. And it probably does look like a lot of sour grapes and stuff when stuff comes out in the press by a lot of people. I didn't like doing that myself. I moved on to Hearts anyway, so I knew kind of pretty much that I was got to move into another job. But for people who were a bit younger and stuff like that, and had made a lot of sacrifices to be at Motherwell and enjoyed and loved being at the club, it was pretty poor, to be fair. But listen, it happens in football. I try live for tomorrow. I'm not going to look back and say that it spoiled my time there, because it didn't. At the time, yeah, it was very difficult. It put me in a bit of a horrible situation as well. I'd only just moved, bought a new house and stuff like that through there. I've probably been here about a year and a bit, and obviously I have to give it up and stuff like that, move my wee girl out of school and stuff like that, move her back through here. It was tough, yep, it was tough, but listen, it's things that happen. It's proved he's done it at a point where it could have worked out a lot worse for Motherwell, I think, but it was bad enough at the time, but listen, it didn't dampen my spirits in the club.
Just to pick up as well, just to answer you mentioned all the players and their careers and things like that. We mentioned earlier as well, but one of the guys I spoke to a couple of times on Twitter was Sean Thiel, and he seemed to have quite a lot of resentment towards Boyle. I know yourself, you're not his biggest fan, so any chance of expanding on that a wee bit?
Listen. Now it's easier to say it now. I don't have nothing against Sean Boyle. I think he's gave Motherwell a time where, you know what, if you could get that time back, like next season, you would take it a heartbeat. No, I can't live with any resentment towards a guy who, listen, it's frustrating, and I'm a wee bit surprised now that Sean Teal's still going on about it, to be honest with you. And Sean was a great lad as well, don't get me wrong. I mean, I got on well with Sean Teal as well. He was somebody who, when I come into the club, I was like, wow, Aston Villa, he's like a proper. So, no, listen, life moves on. If you can't move on and you're still, like, mumping and moaning about what went on all the years ago, then it's pretty sad, to be honest. I'll never tinge whatever happened at the club. For me, John Boyle was a businessman. I think he threw money in, thinking he was going to make money. That's never going to happen as a chairman. That's been proved over and over and over again through the years. And what really guts me a wee bit, to be honest with you, if I'm being honest, is that even up until when I was going to games a wee while ago, he was still at the club. That frustrated me because I thought when he gave up all his rights, he'd be in. But then, I mean, even still to like a few years ago, he was still at the club. He was still a part of the board, as I'm led to believe as well, which I didn't like, because obviously he gave up everything that he was given up, because he obviously believed the club was going to administration and he was bankrupt. And but listen, I didn't have anything was against the guy right now. As I said, I still find it strange that people still going about him and like still caning him and stuff like that. For me, it's moved on. At the end of the day, he gave me a wee opportunity to make decent money at Motherwell and be at an amazing club, which if he wasn't there and he wasn't bankrolling all the stuff that he was doing, I wouldn't have had the opportunity. So for me, I don't hold any grievances towards him. I know a lot of the boys didn't like him, but that was very evident. A lot of boys didn't like him, but for me, as I said at the time, I never really had much to do with John Boyle. I spoke to him and stuff like that, but he was a very, he was a very strange individual, if you ask me, to be honest with you. But and a kind of, I don't know, he was all jazz hands and stuff like that. He was a bit strange, but I don't know what to elaborate on that in case he finds out what I'm saying about
him. Can I just ask, Kevin, see, earlier you'd mentioned about how good the Motherwell fans were, and obviously, you know, you used the word fickle. I was just wondering, did you have any sort of preconceived notions of the Motherwell support beforehand? The reason I ask is, in the past, I think most Motherwell fans would accept that We can be quite negative and quite fickle. Whether we're any more negative or any more fickle than any other fans is obviously up for debate. But in the past, I know Tommy Coyne has said that he needed a lot of persuading to join Motherwell because their fans were, quote, notoriously fickle. I think Duncan Shearer said before that he didn't want to join the club because we booed our own fans. Even guys like Derek Townsley, Derek Adams, guys who got a hard time for the Motherwell support, moved on and then took great delight in scoring against us, obviously quite like payback for the time they had at the club. Is it something you were aware of beforehand, and how did you, I know you touched on it beforehand, but how, what was the reality compared to you know, the idea of Motherwell fans being quite negative?
To be honest, I never really, I mean, I followed them all in the world, to be honest with you, and it's kind of like far away pre-season games that are like ridiculous, they're far away and all that as well, but I had a wee bit sense of, like, Hearts fans, I never really had a preconception of Motherwell fans. I think most people would say, and even at the time as well, that most fans are fickle, and I don't know, for me, I mean, it's funny because I still even like think about my times at Motherwell, and I think that if I ever went back there with a club and I scored, that honestly, that would have broke my heart, like, to be honest. And I'm not even talking, it's not just that, I mean, you even heard me talking yesterday, like, on Alan Ruffy and that as well. I love the club, I love the people. I mean, even inside the club as well, the staff, I can still go back now, there's still a few of the girls that are in the office and stuff like that. It's just, no, for me, listen, everybody has nightmares. I've had a right few nightmares, let me tell you, right through my career, and I've been slaughtered a right few times as well, but I don't know, I've always had that support as well. You know what, every club's like, I mean, every supporter's like, I still go and watch games now, and I still sit and think to myself that I can do better than somebody that's playing. And I mean, I'm Toby Scott a lot, I'm huge, you know what I mean? So I still think I can run about and do things that, and it just, people have got their views, and people have got their ideas, and listen, you pay good money, you get an opportunity to say what you want, and everybody's judgmental, I think. But for me, and even since I've came away from the club, I could never have went anywhere else where I could have been, I think personally, more loved. Well, I could have got that thought, and I had more love for fans as well. Now, and I mean, it's quite strange for people nowadays as well, because people nowadays still think when they come up to me, they're like, oh, it's a Hearts game, the Hearts Hibs game on Sunday or on Saturday. And I've got to be honest with you, didn't get me wrong, there's a lot of boys at Hearts that I know just now as well, Robbie and all that as well, who are part of the coaching staff as well, that I want them to do well for the people that they are, and because they've played a big part in my career as well. But the only one club I would look for as a result and for to do well would have to be Motherwell, to be honest with you.
That's absolutely fantastic to hear. When we were talking about the fans and then Boyle's tenure, Motherwell have moved towards fan ownership with the Welsh Society. I know I've been close to Hearts, you'll know the work the Foundation of Hearts are doing as well. Is that something that interests you and you approve of? I know that as fans, passions can run high, but with a kind of business brain behind it, and then the enthusiasm and the drive of the supporters, is that something you think will be successful in the future?
Oh, see, I call it like Motherwell. I think it's the only way forward. I think it's brilliant that, I mean, the fans, especially at Motherwell, I mean, you're getting the opportunities to be, like, part of a club. You're not just a fan, being a fan is part of a club, but you're actually getting to be more. And I think with someone who, at the helm of it, and someone who obviously knows what they're talking about, business sense and all that, whatever, I think it's a great idea. I think it's a great idea for clubs in general, to be honest with you. It gives them a bigger feeling and being a bigger part of the club. You're not just there as a supporter, you're there as a massive part of the club. And it's the way forward. It's happening at a lot of clubs. Just as long as it gets done in the proper manner, it's, as I said, right now, I think obviously the club, it's probably the best thing that could happen to Motherwell right now. And I hope obviously it does take off, because as I said, it's happening everywhere just now as well.
Just looking back in your career, in terms of ending up, your career ended, and you've brought out your very successful book, which I personally really, really enjoyed, and I thought it was brutally honest, and it's fantastic to see how well you've turned things around. I applaud you greatly for that. How difficult was the process of putting down these things to paper and to Scott Burns, who obviously been a big Motherwell fan as well? He's welcome on any time he wants, but it must have been difficult to have these things played out in public, and also reassuring, I suppose, to know that what you've written has helped a lot of people and been used as guidance at times?
Yeah, I think loads of people have got problems in life and stuff like that. Obviously, I'm not the only one. I think what I've done was, it was tough doing it, I must admit. It took a year, just over a year to do as well, and it brought up some horrendous memories, even at my times at Motherwell. I mean, I think I'd forgot about a lot of the stuff that, you know, what happened when I was at Motherwell as well, regards even my wee girl, just like spending quality time with family. And I mean, I totally disregarded everyone running about me for gambling. And I think it happens quite a bit. It's quite prevalent, especially in football as well. So I think doing the book, yeah, it brought up a lot of horrendous memories, but it put a wee bit of guilt. I live with a lot of remorse and guilt for what I've done and stuff like that as well. But I think it put a good bit of that to bed a wee bit. Don't get us wrong, I still live with it now, to be honest with you, but I think it put a lot of that to bed, and it was there primarily to help that one person, you know, who is struggling, because it's, I mean, the reality is, we do talk to the PFA, I get to see so many high profile football players who are struggling just now, and it's, no one gets to see it. I'm quite fortunate, you know what, that, no fortunate, I don't know what these people are not going to bother, but it's happening through football. And I think people, if they open their eyes up a wee bit and more things came out, it would get to be shown that, you know what, it's more of a problem in football than what people think. But as I said, yeah, I'm very surprised, as I said yesterday, I'm very surprised I've had the football career I've had and done probably as well as what I've done, because my life is totally and utterly consumed by gambling. But writing the stuff, putting it out there, helping people, I think I've had a wee bit of, I've had messages from America, from so many different places, that it's helped their son, their daughter, or it's helped them actually, herself, and it's quite heartening, yeah, that you can actually put a wee bit back and try help that one person who's suffering. But yeah, it's about moving forward now and keep trying to do the work that I'm trying to do to help that one person out there who's toiling still.
You touched on that there, that moving forward with your life and your PFA stuff. What else are you doing with yourself? We've seen a bit of it, you've been a bit of a pool shark as well.
I think that's probably just a misspent youth, to be honest with you. I mean, I was never out, I was playing, that's all I've done. I played pool, I've obviously been away playing with Scotland over the last like 4 years as well. Been away playing in Malta, I've probably had a better career at pool than I had at football. But now I've been swapping pool shirts and all that. No, I mean, I've used my football thing to get some pool shirts from Malta and Northern Islands, and it's been great. I was misspent youth. I played pool all the time when I was younger, and I got the opportunity, obviously, and I stopped playing football to put a wee bit more into it. And I was managing as well at Lothian Thistle. I got them in the Scottish Cup last year. They won the league, first time in 45 years. Took them on. They were actually sitting fifth or something in the league. Won the league, went unbeaten right through the end of the season. Top of the league this year. Unfortunately, 3-4 weeks ago, I resigned just through different things that were happening at the club. I thought we'd move forward on the park, but off the park, weren't we moving forward? And so listen, the opportunities are there. I think if another managerial job came along, I would obviously look into seeing if I could do a wee bit of managing and stuff like that. It's something that I would really like to do. I'm still obviously really friendly with wee Dargo as well, who was my best man at my wedding, my best pal, stood by me through thick and thin. I'm just hoping he maybe gets a wee sneaky job as well, so I can jump in with him. That would be my ideal. I keep telling him to do all his badges and that, and he's done them all, which is absolutely brilliant, because then I wouldn't have to do them and I could just jump in and help him. He's a great coach, he's a great wee lad as well. I'm sure it'd be amazing for a club to have someone with his experience, the things he's done in football as well would be brilliant as well. So I don't know, hopefully I get that wee opportunity to come back and manage again. But most important thing is, as long as my family's all healthy and I'm doing well and trying to help other people and stuff like that, then that's the most important thing.
So is this you, the Scottish Tony Drago then?
Aye, well, listen, I'm far from being as good as Tony Drago, to be honest with you, but I play probably the same speed as him. I'm... You know what, see, most sports, I've been lucky, most sports, I can take my hand to most sports. I'm not brilliant in that. I've never proclaimed to be a brilliant footballer either, but I've taken on loads of sports. I can play most things. I'm pretty average at most things I do. I've been quite fortunate. So, no, I'll keep playing the pool. It gives me a wee bit of enjoyment. But my main thing would be to get back into the football. I would like to get I've done well at where I was for being a new manager. And a lot of people stood up. I got a bit of publicity as well, because obviously I've been played football before and stuff. So I think there maybe be another opportunity around the corner that could be someone to throw myself into. You never know where it leads to. I look at a lot of the boys, Derek Adams. Derek hardly got a game at Motherwell, was the quietest guy on the planet, yet has done so well for himself managing. I mean, Ken, for boys like myself, I know obviously fans will look and go, he's been at Ross County, it's not that great. But for me, I just think that's... So, yeah, the dream would be maybe to come back and manage one day, and the ultimate goal would be to come back and manage it well.
There's been a few stages we would have taken you this season, trust me.
I've had a few messages like that as well, to be honest. But listen, it's dark. Listen, every club goes through the hard times. It's nice to see that the fans are still sticking by. I think the manager's come in, it's bizarre, he's came in, he's not done great. And I think a lot of people were surprised with the appointment, to be honest with you. I thought at the time, especially where the club was, it would have been nice to get someone in who was really passionate about the club, someone who really cares about the club, someone who was just desperate to take them out of that. Like, it'd be amazing to have like a fan, but like in a manager sort of kind of body and to give him that wee bit. And I thought when he came in, I didn't think he was the kind of person that would bring that out, because he's never had no thing with the club at all. I think it's really important when you're at a club that you have someone who's got a wee bit of something about the club, someone who cares. I'm not saying that manager's came in, he's no cared. Listen, he's done well. He's picked things up. He's turned things about a wee bit. Obviously, the last couple of results not been great and stuff, but he's went through a hard time. I think he's got the boys by his side now, and listen, he's the man that's there. You've got to support him. You've got to try to do everything you can to try to get the boys through what is a difficult period just now, because, as I said, talking to people yesterday and you're talking about Motherwell being in a relegation thing, for me, it's just absolutely incredible. The club is too good for that. But nowadays, Ken, what is too good? You know what I mean? I think that the fans, the people at the club deserve a wee bit more than sitting running about the bottom of the league. But unfortunately, that's where we are, and you've just got to keep supporting them and try to get them out of this kind of tough period.
Five games to go, 6 points of a gap. There's been a lot of debate. We debate it on a daily basis, I must confess, about whether that gap can't be bridged and whether a playoff's a certainty. As a former player, what will the mindset of the players be going into these last five games? Is it must win every game, or are you looking over your shoulder at other results constantly? It must be very difficult to know where to focus.
I think if you're being honest, you've always got to look at other results as well. I think people who talk about it's all channeling and the way we go and whatever we do is most important. But listen, as a player, as a manager, you're always looking at other games. You're at other games hoping that the other teams get beaten. It's just normal. It's normal way of life. But no, listen, the boys that are there, there is still a good bit of experience at the club. I mean, you've got Keith Lathley, who must be at least 100. I mean, he's the oldest guy. I can't actually believe he's still playing. I mean, he was doing so well when obviously I was at the club as well, and I feel ancient. He must feel, but he's a great lad. He's got a lot of Motherwell at his heart as well. And I'm sure that we're having these kind of guys at the club, they'll not want to be in the situation they're in either. It's difficult. See, when you're losing, it's difficult to get off that losing. It's all right when the club's doing well and you're flying. And as I said before, it was like when all the years ago being at Motherwell, where we struggled, we were third bottom of the league, but you start winning games, you start climbing, you become a wee bit invincible. It's the same when you're down the bottom. You think that at times you can't win games and things didn't go for you, but that's when everybody's got to keep mustering together, sticking together and hoping that, and as I said before, realistically I do think it could be the year that Motherwell do go into a playoff, which I hope doesn't happen, but I still think they're too strong for everything. I got slaughtered for it for Peter and Offey as well. I still think they'll be too strong for whatever club they were playing against. Motherwell's too good a club, and too, I think they're a good side as well. I just think they need a wee bit of luck, a wee bit more grit, maybe a bit something about them just to try and get out of the situation. It's not a great situation, to be fair. It must be horrible for a fan, like a real fan that's there every week as well. For me, I sit in the background and didn't want them, but as for a real fan, it must be very, very difficult just now.
Kevin, I'd like to thank you very much for your time. We're going to record a wee 1-11 following the conclusion of the podcast. Jay Buster, I'm sure you would like to thank Kevin for his time as well.
Yeah, thanks very much. It's been brilliant.
Ah, most definitely. It's been nice speaking to you.
you actually sound like Robbie Nielsen. You talk, that wee twang you've got is like so light. It's like, listen, and speak it to Robbie Nielsen. I just thought, but you know what? Listen, I hope everybody enjoys it. And as I said, I'll never forget my times at the Well. It's a place close to my heart.
Thanks very much. You've been listening to the By The Men MFC podcast. We'll be back next week. Until then, thanks and goodbye.
Closing time. Open all the doors and let you out into the world. Closing time. Turn all of the lights on over every boy and every girl. Closing time. One last call for alcohol. So finish your whiskey or beer. Closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. I know. Jacket.